Legislation to stop green groups and green activists mounting court challenges against major projects is now before the federal parliament. The Environment Minister Greg Hunt introduced the bill yesterday, saying it would address a well-funded, highly coordinated threat to the approvals process for big developments.
This is the direct Americanisation through the use of litigation to disrupt and delay key projects and infrastructure within Australia and to, I quote, directly increase investor risk, close quotes. This is an unprecedented new development in Australia, drawing the worst features of the American litigation industry into Australia.
So who will be allowed to challenge development approvals under this legislation as amended by the government if it gets its way? Barnaby Joyce is the Federal Agriculture Minister. He's a local member for New England. Barnaby Joyce, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Greg Hunt told the Parliament people with a direct interest in a proposed development, like farmers and landowners, will have their rights protected under the amended law. But does that mean, for instance, only individual farmers, not their representative bodies, can challenge a project?
No, they can be supported by a representative body, so I've checked that out with the Attorney General. What this means is about standing, Fran, and people who are next door to a mine, such as on the Liverpool Plains, and I know that's where you're getting to, they have standing. They have standing because they are next door. They have standing because they're affected by the dust. They have standing because they're affected by the noise. They have standing because of concerns in regards to the aquifer. They have standing because it's imminent and it is next door and they have a pertinent interest to it. But to say that someone has standing who is hundreds, sometimes thousands of kilometres away, who doesn't actually live in the area, who has really no connection to the area, suggests that, how do we navigate in a legal environment like that? And we've got to make sure that this is not a binary argument. It's not a case that you hate all coal mines or you love all coal mines. That is a ridiculous proposition. What it is there are appropriate places for a mine and there are inappropriate places for a mine. The people of Central Queensland believe and are strongly supported by George Christensen, Michelle Lantry, Ken O'Dowd. They say that this is the appropriate place for a mine and certainly the people of Rockhampton think in Central Queensland is where they want it.
Yes, but this is not a law just for one mine. This is a law change for all mines and all projects forever on. So this notion of a representative body, because I know some farmers are concerned that the change might challenge their capacity to challenge projects. I'm just going to play you a little bit of Tim Duddy, who I'm sure you know, a Liverpool Plains farmer, I think, constituent of yours, I think, the CEO of the Caruna Coal Action Group that challenged the $1.2 billion Shenhua Watermark coal mine. On RN Drive last night, Tim Duddy expressed concerns about the way the law change could leave farmers like him exposed.
By removing this power, it actually means that then you don't have somebody who can take an action to the court and claim it is in the public interest. So as a landholder, I would have standing to take the mining company to a court and I would be aggrieved. But as a landholder, I am also a holder of significant assets. Mm. And because they are my assets that have been affected, I could not argue the public interest to get this tried. So basically, if I am going to disagree with anything the federal government does, I have to put my farm on the line to do it.
And I think that's a concern that farmers like him would have to go personally. You're saying rep bodies could work. What about environmental bodies? What about, you know, a green group putting the case for farmers so it's not individual farmers? Would that be allowed under this?
What we have is we have the capacity where if it wants to be the National Farmers Federation or New South Wales Farmers have the capacity to
or Greenpeace or the Environmental Defenders Office?
They have to prove standing. If they can't prove standing in a clear relationship to the issue, then and we are trying to take away deliberately that people who are miles away from an issue don't have standing. Where we have at the moment, Fran, is I could basically say, you know, I'm going to stop this program because on the way in here I thought I saw a slug. You know, and where that letter could come from, but it's Perth.
The court will exercise its judgment, though, as a court always does. I mean, it can throw out vexatious claims, and it does. We know that. What I think people are interested in trying to nail down, and it's probably impossible to do it until it's tested, but what's the definition of next door versus the definition of thousands of miles away? There's a lot of room in the middle of that
I can give a clear example why people on Liverpool Plains have standing and why the NFF and the New South Wales farmers can stand with those farmers and make sure that they support a claim. And because on issues such as dust, you'd say, well, the dust certainly goes over my farm, therefore I have standing. Noise, the noise certainly affects my farm, therefore I have standing. The traffic going in and out past my front gate affects my farm, therefore I have standing. It is next door to me, therefore I have standing. I have concerns about the aquifers, therefore I have standing. And you might be downstream and still say, well, it's the same aquifer that goes past me, so I have standing. But I can't say, well, I'm actually living in Melbourne, and I've had a look on Google, and I can see that there's a yak, a skink there, and therefore I'm going to deliberately try and forestall this project because... And people say, oh, well, that rarely happens. That's what's in the papers today. That rarely happens. Well, Fran, it's happened this time.
But it only happened because the minister didn't get the paperwork right. The court didn't rule.
It's happened this time. And the reason that we have the people of Rockhampton, and this is, it's not, as I said, it's not a binary argument. The reason that in this instances where there should be a mine, where it's well supported by the community, where it's well supported by the area, where it's well supported by the local politicians, where people are asking for the economic growth, well, the people of Rockhampton, the people of Central Queensland are saying, do not compromise our economic future because we're doing it tough enough as it is. And this is an area where we want a mine. It's not highly productive agricultural farming land like the Breeza Plains. It's completely and utterly different. And they're saying, well, you've now, this program has stopped. We have concerns about whether Adani will stick with us. And if it goes, well, what is this green group going to roll up into Central Queensland to help pay for our house?
I understand that. But as we've said before, this is not just about the Carmichael mine. Jackie Lambie, for instance, is heading to Liverpool Plains this weekend to talk to farmers about some of their concerns about the mine and about the laws, how that might affect their capacity. She says the Nationals aren't doing their job, so she's going to go do it.
I welcome Jackie to go to that area. I welcome any person who has a political interest to go in that area. People know my position, as I've said, I don't support a mine in the middle of the Breeza Plains. It's the most productive land in Australia.
Have you lost Is that mine going to go ahead?
If Senator Lambie believes that she can stop it, well, more power to her arm, but I'll be watching. She has to try and affect the state government. I don't know, maybe she'll go down and tackle Mike Baird. I don't quite know how she's going to do it, but it'll be an interesting one to watch.
It's 17 to 8. Our guest is the Federal Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce. Barnaby Joyce, can I ask you about the China Free Trade Agreement? The Prime Minister yesterday labelled Bill Shorten and the Labor Party racist. Is it racist to want to make sure that any agreement properly looks after the interests of Australian workers first before workers from overseas are brought in?
Well, there has to be a test. You can't just... All this time, what the Labor Party is doing is coming up with these sort of mischievous arguments where they tell you half the story, create fear and loathing in the community, and then sit back and sort of giggle at the consequences. You can't just bring in people, holeless bowls from overseas. You're not allowed to. You have to do labour marking testing. It has to be approved. You have to offer the jobs locally. Then they have to, even if that does happen, they would have to come in on Australian terms and conditions. And I'll give you an example where it happens right now, apart from Julia Gillard's former staff members, but apart from them and apart from the fact that we've had 457 and 417 visas now for a while, is in every abattoir, Fran. If I go into any abattoir in Australia and say, look, all 457 and 417 visa holders must immediately put down their boning knives, put down their tools and leave the abattoir, we'll close down every abattoir in the country.
But I don't think that's what the critics are saying. We've spoken to academics on this program, asked them to have a look at it. They've expressed some concern that the measures are a bit open, that there's not enough perhaps force to the labour market testing concerns. Labour says it will back this FTA, but it says there should be accompanying laws basically to make certain
I don't actually hear them saying that they're going to back the FTA. I hear them talking about all the problems with the FTA. And the problem with that is it puts at risk our biggest trading partner. And I'm the Minister for Agriculture, and my job is to try and move soft commodity products so that your listeners can pay for their schools, pay for their hospitals. We can bring some money into this nation. Now,
so you're satisfied that the work test is strong enough?
Yes, I am. I am, because it's not a case of we do have strong discussions about this. We've been discussing this for ages through Cabinet. We've been all the so-called concerns that they're telling you half the story about. We've been discussing this for ages and going through the process. We've been absolutely making sure that the Australian people are looked after first. But if we just say, well, we're not going to let anybody in, I'll be closing down mango farms, I'll be closing down abattoirs. There'll be projects that people just don't, and jobs people just don't want to do, that we won't be able to find the labour force for? Because if I said to your listeners now, listen, I've got a job for your cyclone, picking mangoes at Mataranka, it's about 45 degrees, it's virtually in the middle of the desert, but it's a great earner for Australia. I can't get anyone from overseas to do it, so I can't get any of the locals to do it, so... how do I actually find a labour force if I can't bring them in?
This is not about arguing against 457s. It's about the strength of the work test and whether that's changed.
The work test is in place, so they have to actually provide the capacity to prove to us that they've advertised it locally, that the skill sets are not there locally, that they've offered the jobs to Australians first. It's not just their decision; it has to go away for approval.
Okay.
And if it's approved, then they've got a chance to bring in the workforce that they can't find locally, so we can get the project up and running. And I'll show you a classic one. We used to have about 35% 457 visa holders in one of the abattoirs in Rockhampton. Now they tell me they're at 25%, because you know what happens, Fran? They become Australian citizens. And what's wrong with that?
Barnaby Joyce, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Barnaby Joyce is the Federal Agriculture Minister.